suddenly put on lipstick?
Yes, I did.
All right. You looked one way when I left the room, and now you look different. Not bad.
It's different.
Perhaps it's the light.
Yeah. Rick, he is not the least likely actor to play Hank Williams Jr. I am least likely actors to play Hank Williams Jr. George Hamilton or Ice-T. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. That's hilarious. They ought to do a series where it's like least likely people to play, you know, and then like Jim J. Bullock plays Ice-T. Just do a whole sort of circular thing. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, lather. Oh, this is, I'm talking about people getting worked up into a lather. Lather in this sense refers to an overexerted horse's perspiration. Never an attractive reference. Best wishes for your continued success.
I don't think horses perspire.
No, it's like women. They horses glisten. Let's see. Did you see that Did you see that episode where John Boy was attacked by a mole? You turn my computer up. I got to get that soundbite, the Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's Ward. Boy, I watched that the other day. What a great... You know what I'm talking about there, don't you? Oh, come on. Come on. Where's the come on with the...
Come on.
You don't know what I'm talking about there? I've been saying that phrase out loud, and you've been not knowing what I mean.
I've never heard you say
Buck
that.
Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's Ward. I said it like 50 times today.
Have you heard that, Tim?
I have.
Oh.
Do you know what it's from?
No.
For shame. You don't recognize that. Here's a couple other phrases. This, attention, FM DJs, here's a zany new bit for you. You do it like a reverse thing. Where you just give the dialogue and then people have to tell you what the movie is that you really ought to know anyway. Okay, so you don't know Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's Ward. How about this? I want you to get in your mouse and get out of here. No? Nothing?
Is it a movie that you know I've seen?
It's a movie that it seems like you should have seen. You know what I mean? It's a movie that it seems likely that you would have seen. That I sort of assume everybody sees in America. That it's like when you're born, when you come out of the womb, they hand it to you. They give you a stack of DVDs like, here you go. Here you go and welcome to America. Here are the movies you must now see and then quote to your friends as an adult. How about this? How about, you should see The Toast. I could barely even get it in the house. Fine. I'll give you one more. Bug? Gnat? Is there a little similarity there? I think there is.
You sound insane.
Well, I only sound insane. Okay, someone who knows what movie that is, call up. If you know what movie if you don't know, you really have to ask yourself why you're listening. It's 503-733-2970.
I was kind of screaming.
Did he tell you what it was? Okay, well, it's almost pointless then. But we'll take a call.
I don't remember.
How could you have seen it? Scotty, I'll just take this one raw, as they say. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Michael.
Michael, what movie is that?
It's Uncle Buck.
That's what I'm talking about. How could you not know?
I've seen the movie, but it just didn't stick with me.
Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's Wart.
And I'm Sarah's age, so she has no excuse.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go.
I have seen that movie. I just didn't remember.
To tell you the truth, I don't want to know a six-year-old that isn't a dreamer or a silly heart. Fine, whatever.
I almost watched Uncle Buck yesterday. It's one of the only decent movies my parents
have. It's funny. Uncle Buck is from the golden era. Uncle Buck is one of the last great movies that John Hughes ever made. People don't appreciate this. John Hughes really was, I would say John Hughes really was like the Brian Wilson of movies in the 80s. Because it's like I've said about Brian Wilson and Paul Simon that you don't appreciate, you don't realize how many Brian Wilson or Paul Simon songs you know until you go to like see Simon and Garfunkel in concert, or you see a track listing, and you realize that Paul Simon has written like 45 songs that you know word for word. Ditto with Brian Wilson. Think of it, John Hughes. I could probably use up all 10 fingers right now listing off all the John Hughes movies that have impacted our lives. I mean, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, the Home Alone movies, Uncle Buck. There was just a time when that guy could do no wrong. And Uncle Buck was one of the last great John Hughes films because he did Home Alone and then he stopped making... I don't think he ever made a teenage movie again. Not that Home Alone is even a teenage movie, but I think he stopped after that and he just began churning out Dreck. Oh, let's see. What do we have here? Is it 1:15? Where does the time go? Let's see. I'm sorting. There's a few emails I'm reading here that involve things that are going to be happening later this week that I don't want to get to. What?
They cannot be the.
No, it's I can't. Rick, about the Road Warrior on the History Channel, they were doing a Doomsday movie theme. Oh, okay, there you go.
Okay.
They were showing the Road Warrior for its portrayal of the world following a apocalyptic nuclear war. Well, that's the thing, because it's a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland. Following the Road Warrior was the movie The Doomsday Clock. I totally watched that. How weird that you watched the Road Warrior and I watched the movie right after it, which was The Doomsday Clock, which is a documentary all about that clock that
I've seen that
atomic scientists do. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. What am I doing here? Oh, Troy. Hello, Troy.
Yeah, Rick.
How are you, Troy?
All right. You got to forgive me for my ineptness at being able to operate the phone there earlier.
That's okay. Yeah, I picked you up and you hung up the phone. It was like I scared you away.
Yeah, I felt like a real tool there.
Yeah, well, I would say that that's a justified feeling, sir.
Yeah. Well, I hate to dispute what Kristen has to say, but it was, in fact, the Channel 2 news helicopter that did go down. You were correct. And the reason I know is because it did happen to go down on our Christmas tree farm.
Oh, I
remember that.
Well, that's sort of a jolly crash. I mean, crash in a happy place at least?
Yes, exactly. It was a festive time of year. But it could have been worse. The pilot did walk away. But, KATU was right in the middle of their big Power of Two campaign, and basically in one quick fiery ball there, they were down to one.
Oh, Jesus. So it was the Power of Two helicopters, and they just had to go paint over all of the things as the Power of Two.
So he was moonlighting at a Christmas tree farm, waiting for breaking news.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Kristen was right to a point. They didn't actually own that particular helicopter. They leased it, and so they were doing helicopter harvest with it during the day, and then he would have to take off by, 4 o'clock so they could be there to go do the news.
All right, so it wasn't so much breaking news as it was sort of crashing news.
Yes, and ha! I'll tell you what, after it happened within several hours, pretty soon we were just, it was like the locust, the plague just coming with all the other news helicopters landing, and then they showed up with all their ground vehicles and had to, do their 5 o'clock news feed from up there. Yeah. So it was quite exciting.
All right, thank you, Troy.
You betcha, Rick.
All right, there you go.
You are a massive tool.
All right, thank you. There you go, that's Troy.
But then you have Fox 12, whose helicopter very seldomly takes off. The guy sits in there and does traffic reports at the airport every morning.
Sits on the tarmac.
Yeah.
So I filled in for them, and I had to be there at 5 a.m. and then sat there until, 8. You fly around for an hour and then come back.
Does he do that Les Nessman thing of, I'm here on the Hawthorne Bridge with the whole...
It's like nobody has ever seemed to notice that helicopter never takes off.
All right. 503-733-2... 970, 503-733-2970. All of these, let's see, what do I have there? Rick, how about putting the clown watch theme on your website so we can download it as a ringtone? Jesus, imagine if everyone used it, you could tell they were an Emerson fan. Thank you.
I got a new ringtone this weekend.
What is it?
You have to call me.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, wait, do I have my phone? Because you got to call me. It's the lamest thing ever. And then we got behind very early on.
Right. Actually, I'll just call from this phone because I think you still have the Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, now you had to get rid of Kelly Clarkson, right?
Yes.
Is it true that was causing stress with your gentleman caller?
It's true.
Somebody told me that Kelly Clarkson song was the song that you put on your phone after you and he had broken up.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, come on. What? Why did you get that as your ring?
Because I'm a fan.
Okay. Wait, here's the one I've got. Wait, here's how easily marketed to I am. Let's see here. Oh, wait, hold on.
This is what I did on Friday night.
There's Storm. And it goes forever. It just goes for like a minute. So there you go. Because when I called to vote, they send you back, thank you for voting. Would you like to buy a ringtone for $3? I'm like, yes! I was so immediately suckered in by that. Now, see, here's... I've got this email about Storm and about the show. I don't even know if I should read it. All right. This is spoiler-free, by the way. But I will just read this to you. It says, Rick, since you don't want spoilers, I will not send you any more. This is the guy who spoiled that it was Cheap Trick.
Okay.
He had said last week that the Storm saying she's Cheap Trick. And I do not know what she sings tomorrow. And I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't want to know. So I don't want to know what she's singing tomorrow. So don't tell me. So I will not send you spoilers, he said, but I will tell you that they're out there on the internet. Well, of course. I mean, that's why I don't go to any of the Rockstar things. I just don't want to know. Anyway, they finally put, listen to this. Now, I don't even know if I want to read this.
Hey, let me see.
He says they put Storm's blog, well, it's not secret. He says they put Storm's blog up over there, and she's had a few entries. There are a few interesting things there I hadn't seen or heard yet, including her breaking down and crying. What's that about? Does anybody know?
No.
All right. Well, we'll have to read it later. We can't read it now because we'll get all distracted. If we read it now, the whole show will stop because it'll just be us. It'll be us doing nothing, just reading someone's blog on the air and getting nothing done. Speaking of getting nothing done, so CNN is giving us, we have no one. We were supposed to be talking to Gary Baumgartner about North Korea, but Gary, some excuse, is losing his voice. And so we said, who can we get in the stead of Gary Baumgartner? And CNN said, we'll get right on that. We are CNN. We have hundreds and hundreds of news people. And Scotty, how many people have they found?
Yes, no one.
So there is no one who's going to be helping us with that. So we have no CNN news. I do, however, have this memo. Do we have to break, or should we do the what's happening at CBS?
Oh, let's do that. Well, if we don't have a guest at 1:30, we don't.
Well, let's break. We'll come back at the city desk, and we'll do what's happening at CBS this week. Later on, we'll talk about the World Series of Pop Culture. And we got to talk about, remember that vegan, the guy, remember that guy that's CJ? He was a vegan. He called up, and he was threatening to beat my ass for saying that vegans were weak and pale. I think that happened while you were gone. We'll talk about that. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. Here's Ice-T. As Hank Williams Jr. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. All right, we got to talk about the World Series of Pop Culture later on. And if we have time, we will replay Scotty J's. We keep threatening to replay that Summer Top 5 because I got to do it before. Because if I don't, the summer's actually going to be over. Rick, here's this guy, this production guy, is sending us endless new liners that he has created for the show now. Let's see, where is the, let's check this one out.
Most of our listeners is left-siders. The Rick Emerson Show and 970.
Okay. How about this one? Let's see, this is from the same guy here. This is a little throwback to Friday.
Like being tortured in the butt with drywall screws. The Rick Emerson Show and 970.
Jesus God. Okay. Well, we'll just stay away from that. Oh, don't forget, I gotta do the Weekend Geek, too. We got that coming up. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Oh, come on, that was hilarious just now.
That was. From higher top, the coy top, downtown Portland, Oregon.
LOL'd.
Bay City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, I have your sound. If we want to, let me know when you're into the CBS news. We've obtained a sounder for what's happening at CBS.
We'll do that in just a moment.
Okay.
But first, it wasn't meant to be overheard. Private luncheon conversations among world leaders picked up by microphones, providing a rare window into both banter and substance, including the president cursing Hezbollah attacks against Israel.
We have,
that's wrong.
No, that's wrong.
The irony is that what they need to do is get Syria to get Hezbollah to stop doing this.
I am stunned and appalled.
Not our president.
whatever will the right-wing persons think.
Is that what they need to do is get serious, get headbutted, stop doing this.
Communism has been outlawed. Bombing will begin in 5 minutes. Man, you would think, by now that I'll tell you this. When we come into I've talked to Sarah about this before. There, you know, when you're in a radio studio, when you turn on a microphone, the overhead speakers turn off. Otherwise, it'll feed back.
Yeah.
I don't understand, although somebody told me, because when you watch, is it news radio that I'm thinking of, or is it Frasier, where they don't use, and WKRP, they never used any headphones either. Was it WKRP, where there's no headphones used, like the jock is on the air, and like Venus Flytrap opens the mic, and he does the, hello, my children.
I think you're correct.
It is Venus, and he hits the gong, and like no one ever wears any, and I don't mean to be that guy, because Laura does this, it's like she's, God love her. She'd only been a nurse for like a year, but like a week after she got her nursing license. Like, I think, the ink was still wet on the nursing license. And we would be sitting there watching a movie, and some scene would take place in a hospital, and she started doing that thing of like, oh, they are totally doing that wrong. That is not how you administer a saline drip. You know, no one cares. No one cares. There is nothing more irritating, pointless, and tiresome than some guy watching a movie or a television show with you and taking the time to tell you that that's not how blank is actually done. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's usually men who do this. Well, you'll be sitting, you're watching some movie, and there'll be some guy sitting next to you, some jackhole, who feels like he's got to correct, like, the weaponry that's being used. Oh, they're saying clip when they really mean magazine. And it's, no one cares. Just knock it off. But it is worth noting that if you watch most radio-themed television shows or movies, nobody ever uses microphones or headphones. But when you turn on the microphone in the studio, the overhead speakers go off. And so sometimes, though, during a commercial break, Sarah will just not want to, you know, be like, ah, she'll be working on something, or she's like, oh, I don't need to hear this, you know, I don't need to hear this Rick Emerson thing for like the 9 millionth time. So she'll turn it down. And when she turns it down, I will start to freak out because I won't know if the microphone is on or not. And so working here and working in radio, they always teach you to, what the first thing they tell you in broadcasting school. Well, the first thing they tell you is, where is your check? And then the second thing they tell you is, no, you'll be able to get a job with this, we swear. Many, many fine graduates of our school have found paying jobs. But then the third thing they tell you is, always act as though the microphone is on. That's like radio 101. Mm. Always act as though the microphone is on, because you never know when it is, and you don't want to be the guy swearing on the air. You want to be the guy... And every DJ has that story about thinking the microphone was off, and it wasn't, and then he's busy having phone sex with like a 16-year-old, you know, it's all bad. It goes badly. So you think the presidents would do the same thing, because Reagan had that happen. I know Bush the first had it happen. Clinton undoubtedly had it. I mean, it's a story as old as the hills about the politician who thinks the microphone is off, and it isn't, and then he says some crap that gets him in trouble.
Meanwhile, Russian President Putin has rejected a suggestion from President Bush that his country should become more like Iran.
Who?
Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Has rejected a suggestion that President Bush made that his country should emulate democracy in Iraq. During a joint news conference in St. Petersburg, Bush said he raised concern about democracy and said, well, it should become more like Iraq. I talked about my desire to promote change in parts of the world like Iraq, where there's a free press and free religion, and I told him that a lot of people in our country would like Russia to do the same as Iraq.
Yes, everybody wants everything to be like Iraq. Iraq, they're model citizens of the world.
To that, Putin replied, we certainly would not want to have the same kind of democracy they have in Iraq, quite honestly. Meanwhile, cockroaches and SpongeBob SquarePants dolls were among items launched in an inflatable space vehicle from Russia.
What?
Cockroaches and SpongeBob SquarePants dolls were among items launched in an inflatable space vehicle from a site in Russia.
I'm Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's report.
Mm-hmm. As the craft's millionaire backer watched from mission control, the Genesis 1 blasted off into Earth's orbit. Apparently, Robert Bigelow, president of Bigelow Aerospace, has spent $75 million on this venture to launch cockroaches and SpongeBob SquarePants dolls into outer space from Russia.
I don't understand. Okay, well, let's just move on. Just plunge on ahead.
Hundreds of Mexican soldiers have entered Tabasco trying to restore security. The soldiers looked into presumed drug traffickers there.
Where?
Tabasco.
Oh, is that the name of a place?
It is. Believe it or not, you thought it was a little red bottle of stuff, didn't you?
It's like there's a town called Chihuahua, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the more you know.
So apparently Tabasco is out of control with illegal aliens from other countries. Guerrillas there are using grenade launchers, bazookas, and machine guns, destroying police cars. Meanwhile, plans to dress up a new sewage treatment plant in Riverton, Utah, with the look of a farm didn't change many minds. A judge upheld the Riverton Board of Adjustment's decision to revoke a permit for the sewage treatment plant south of Salt Lake City. The judge said using red barn buildings to disguise the sewage treatment plant will not keep up with the rural character for that. Time now for what's happening at CBS.
Wait, hold on, me. Here we go.
This is a CBS News Bulletin.
This is a terrible loop. I thought this went somewhere. Listen, how it doesn't go anywhere. This is actually like a second and a half that's been badly looped. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Like you can hear the scissors.
That's early 60s.
Oh, that'll drive you insane after a while. All right.
Well, even Katie Couric, no stranger to celebrity, is surprised at all the press hoopla over her move to the CBS Evening News September 5th. Do viewers care? I don't think they're nearly as interested as all you are, she told a group of TV critics.
This is true. Unless I'm wrong about something, and I don't believe that I am, I don't believe that there's anybody anywhere caring about Katie Couric except other people who work in the media. And we work in the media, and I don't even really care.
Just the chattering class.
No, it has become... this is like a whole snake eating its tail kind of thing. Because there is Katie Couric, who is replacing Bob Schieffer, who has been the interim... No, see, right now, I can hear people not... Even as these words are leaving my mouth...
I don't care. I've never watched your program.
No, that's what... And I'm entering real Howard Beale territory,
too. I watched it during the moon landing. I think that was the last time.
I watch it by accident, flipping by looking for something else. No, this is total Howard Beale territory. Even now, in the middle of this sentence, I want you to turn off this box! But there's, I mean, I don't care, let me just say this, I don't care about Katie Couric. I don't care about who she's replacing. I don't care about, I mean, Dan Rather's gone. Although, did you see he landed that job at AOL? Do you see that's gonna be Dan Rather's new job? He's doing sort of newscast on AOL.
I didn't know that.
Yes, no. It's the way to restore your credibility. That's the way to peg yourself as a serious journalist, by the way, is have the of AOL news tagged at the end of your business card. But so there's Katie Couric. I don't care about her. I don't care about Bob Schieffer. I don't care about CBS News. Most of the media does, but it's like I only really care about the fact that the media cares about Katie Couric. You know, no one's going to watch her. No one who's not watching the news now is going to watch the news because of Katie Couric. And I got to tell you that, but I mean, can we all agree that the demographic that sits down and watches the CBS Evening News is like the 65 to dead demographic, as they say in radio?
It's the people who shop at record stores.
That's exactly. There's a big, where is this? A big article right here, actually, about the, is this, you gave me this, is from the New York Times?
Yep.
The graying of the record store. Which is a whole thing about, you know, the record stores. And again,
people ride in the rascals. Looking for Crosby, Stills, and Nash albums.
Do you have a Braxis?
Would you disconnect my oxygen? I'd like to have a Marlboro Red.
Oh, that's fantastic. Anyway.
Teach your children well.
But the people who watch CBS Evening News are like 100 years old. And
there are a lot of them.
But
people are living longer.
But they are really, and this is my opinion as me, by the way, that they're really screwing themselves two ways. Because first of all, Sarah and her people, that is to me, see, the people under the age of 35, people under the age of 30, are never going to watch the CBS Evening News again. Ever. And that's not just CBS. That's NBC News, ABC. It's never going to happen. When is the last time, Sarah, you sat down and deliberately watched a network evening newscast?
When that story about my car was on, that's it.
That was not a network news.
No, that wasn't even network news. That was local.
When I was a child.
And when you had to?
Yeah.
When your father was, you know, made you watch it? Yeah, that's it.
In high school,
me too.
I think.
That's why, to me, I got to tell you, look, I am 33 years of age. But to this day, that opening CBS newscast, how does the CBS news, it's not dun, 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 dun. Is that NBC?
I don't remember.
What network had this theme?
No, you're thinking of ABC. That's ABC News with Peter Jennings.
That was the one that was on in our house because my dad thought...
That's ABC.
My dad thought Dan Rather was a commie. My dad trusted Walter Cronkite. Cronkite. But when Cronkite retired, my dad thought Dan Rather was just, you know, he's a pinko.
And so Peter Jennings was a Canadian.
We never...
I'm gonna be my parking.
Oh, are you parked out? Oh, that's right. You're parked out front.
You better get out there,
Scotty.
Are you going to make Scotty go?
Well, I can't leave the board.
That's true. You are the operator on duty.
That would be against the law.
I guess we'll just sit here while Sarah roots around in her purse. So Scotty's going to go pay her parking. No, but I. But when Cronkite left, and Rather took over, we quit watching it because my dad thought Rather was some sort of a left-wing commie somehow, like all rednecks. My dad thought that Rather was a communist. And so we started watching the ABC News. And to this day, when I think about that ABC News opening music, it just puts the taste of mashed potatoes in my mouth because we always had to watch it during dinner. But as soon as I got out of the house, man, I never voluntarily watched the network news again. Sarah has never, since she left the house, Sarah has never sat down and made the conscious decision to watch the network news. Katie Couric will not change that fact. No one who is not watching the network news now will watch it because of Katie Couric. And people, and I always use my mother-in-law as this sort of template for these people, that the people who are in the 65 to dead demographic, which is who watches network news now, will not like Katie Couric. Because she's perky and toothy and blonde and bubbly and all of the things that they don't think you should. And plus, because she's a blonde woman, everybody's going to make the... I don't know anything about her or her politics, but I got to tell you, when my in-laws sit down to watch the evening news and they see Katie Couric, they are immediately going to assume that she is a tool of the liberal media. Because she's not a crusty old white guy. So that's it. Because she's not a barrel-chested white man, she will automatically be assumed to be a tool of the leftist propaganda machine. Which is probably true. And so that's going to, I mean, I'm telling you, man.
Maybe it should be Bob Hoskins.
Anchoring
the CBS.
Bob Hoskins. That's fantastic.
I think that would be
the perfect. They would like him.
See?
Or, you know,
that would be a better move than Katie Couric.
No, it's true.
That we can keep our refrigerator.
Yes, it's true. They would, but this is going to go down as a move that at the very least does nothing. And it's probably a huge mistake. And I'm telling you right now. What is this, 2006?
Yes, it
July.
Is.
July. I'm telling you, within 2 years, layoffs, rollbacks, belt tightening, and it's all going to be tied to this. Within 2 years, there's going to be somebody fired. Probably many, many thousands of somebodies. And they're going to tie it to like the $20 million they're paying Katie Couric. You mark my words. I'm telling you right now.
You're saying we only have a job for a couple more years.
I'm telling you that we live at Katie Couric's pleasure. We serve at the pleasure of Katie Couric right now. That's what I'm telling you.
She's a $15 million woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, the $15 million is going to... It takes a lot of minimum wage employees to make up that $9 million or that $15 million. Yeah.
Meanwhile, in September, CBS plans to start using a new place to advertise its fall lineup, Your Breakfast. Well, you egg eaters, I guess. The network plans to announce today it'll place laser implants in its trademark eye insignia, as well as logos of some of its shows, on eggs. 35 million of them in September and October. CBS copywriters are referring to the medium as advertising. Some of the plan slogans, CSI, Crack the Case on CBS. The Amazing Race, Scramble to Win on CBS.
Scramble to Win.
No.
All these people are going to die of heart attacks. And hard-boiled drama.
One hand clutching their chest, the other hand on the the remote.
It's Rudy Tooty, fresh and fruity.
There you go. Eggsvertising.
I think that's
it. No, this is, finishing up. Well, no, this is because we got this email today. Now, you may remember we were mentioning last week. See, this, you want to talk about relatable, because I don't know if this happens where you all work. But we mentioned last week that Sarah had no forks. There was no fork. There was nothing with which she could eat. Now, understand, we don't get a lot in the way of perks here. I mean, we're all basically broadcasting to you from a room that is the size of a closet. And when I say, I mean, really, if you have a walk-in closet at home, that's about the size of the studio we're in. Now, we used to have, and I'm not complaining because I think the show sounds better now. I think it's good for us. I think we're all in one room and it's, you know, got a kind of a different energy and the comic timing is better. But I do have to tell you that when we were at Entercom, we had three rooms this size, all linked together, like inlaid walnut. Everything was brand new and shiny. Everything was fantastic. The show wasn't as good, but we had huge studio space. Those days are past. I don't think we will ever again have a studio the size of the one we had over at Intercom. I think that's, because there's nowhere to go. Like, we're in the coin building. It's like, where are you going to go? You can't build out.
You can't build down. All the other floors are taken up. There's just literally no more room. There is no more real estate space in this building. So we're in a small little room here. So it's not like we got a whole lot in the way of perks going on in this at this radio station. All we really wanted is forks so we could eat. That's it, man. And so I came in the other day, and I told her Sarah was the saddest thing I'd ever seen. She was standing over the kitchen sink washing a plastic fork, like the Dixie fork that comes in packages of 100 for, like, your family picnic that you use once and throw away. So she's washing a plastic fork, which apparently she got out of the dishwasher, implying that someone else had already used it and washed it. She's basically reusing napkins. It's like reusing your toilet paper or something. You know what I mean? Washing a plastic fork, which you can no longer even use because you put the plastic fork into the lasagna and it melts down to a plastic nub. So I come and it's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. Sarah shoveling a lasagna into her face with a denuded plastic spork. It's just sad beyond words. So there's that. Then we got a memo that they were taking away the coffee creamer from us. We had the little half and half things like you have at Sherry's or Denny's or something. So they took away the creamer because apparently they feel that somebody was pilfering. Somebody was absconding with the creamer. So they took that away. I do believe that that memo claimed that they were going to be replacing that with powdered creamer. Has anybody seen powdered creamer appear in the kitchen? No. No, they've replaced it with nothing.
It hasn't been approved by corporate yet, but it is in the pipeline.
maybe in fiscal quarter 03. It's a bit of purchase order for it yet. Yes, so the little tiny creamers went away, and they were not replaced with powdered creamer, as was promised. They were replaced with bupkis. That's what they were replaced with. What else? Oh, there's no more napkins. The napkins are now gone.
No paper towels.
Which I guess you don't need napkins because no one can eat any longer because there are no forks. So there's nothing. Unless you want to eat with your hands. Literally, unless you want to root like a truffle hound. Unless you just want to heat something and then just shove your face right into it. But even then, you've got no napkins with which to clean your face. Also, above the sink in the kitchen here at CBS, there's a gigantic paper towel dispenser. That's no longer being filled. So apparently, cost-cutting measures have reached an unusual and unorthodox level. So here's the latest saga in that. So I know that where you work, there is probably a corporate or a communal refrigerator. Now, isn't it just understood? And again, I'm not advocating this kind of behavior. I'm not saying it's right to do. I understand the frustration when you bring food in. This happened to us at Entercom, actually. When you bring food in and then someone takes food out of the refrigerator. You have a sandwich, you have a whatever, and then somebody runs off with it. Nobody likes to have their lunch stolen. Nobody says that that's a good thing. I am in no way condoning or promoting the stealing of lunches. It's wrong. And in fact, again, at Entercom, we tried very hard to try to find out the person who was stealing from us. But I will say, isn't it just known that that's just part of the risk? That's just part of the peril, right? If you have a communal refrigerator and you put your food in the communal refrigerator, don't you just know that there's a chance that it's going to get stolen?
It's true.
Actually,
Nate is having the same problem at his work, and I can't say what they're doing, but he took a good measure.
Well, because we loaded up something with hot sauce. That was our thing. Is I took that Dave's Insanity sauce and we coated something in it and put it in the refrigerator. Okay, here's what we. So this memo goes out last week where somebody. What was it? Something. The creamer got taken and then someone like had a sandwich taken out of the refrigerator, which again is wrong. But it happens. It's just the way. It's a radio station. It's filled with scum. It is a wretched hive of scum and villainy. So then Carol from the front desk responded that she had some cheese or something taken. And then immediately begins this whole daisy chain, this whole pecking party on the corporate email system about things that have been stolen out of the refrigerator. So now this is the latest. This is what we received this morning in our inboxes here at CBS Radio. And this is from a person I will not name. But this is from a senior human resources manager here at CBS. Subject line of this email is, "The last chance." And then it's bullet pointed, so you know that they were angry when they sat down to write it. A few facts. A, the company provides the refrigerator for your convenience. I like that they provide an entire refrigerator, but not actually paper towels. The refrigerator, which costs thousands of dollars. Paper towels, though, that's just not budgeted for. Those are frills, is what those are. You swipe your hands on your pants and like it. B, the company does not provide any of the contents in the refrigerator. C, therefore, each item in the refrigerator belongs to a fellow employee. D, if you didn't put it there, do not take it or you... Who is stealing food out of the refrigerator that's going to be deterred by this? Who is saying to themselves, you know what, I've been stealing things, and I've been rifling through the refrigerator on weekends at nights, but you know, this sternly worded memo has steered me straight. I will no longer take anything out of the refrigerator because of this memorandum that went out. E, this Friday, July 21st, everything left in the refrigerator, without exception, will be thrown away. And then, F, Monday morning, the refrigerator will be clean. I don't understand exactly how this is solving anything, by the way. The things are being stolen, so the answer...
It's an eye for an eye.
This seems like a little bit of a scorched earth solution.
An eye for an eye, a lunch for lunch.
This is a whole lot of roaches burn down the house kind of thinking. So the answer to food being stolen, apparently, is that HR is going to go through and throw away every single thing in the goddamn refrigerator.
And I think the parking garage should be closed down, so the person who's stealing out of the refrigerator has to walk to work.
Now, listen to this.
No place to park.
Monday morning, like, I understand that they're upset that food is being stolen. I don't understand exactly at what point in the solution process throwing away everything in the refrigerator comes. Anyway, so Monday morning, the refrigerator will be clean. Now, listen to this. It ends with, here is where the last chance comes in.
Turn yourselves in.
Inform on your loved ones.
You will be sent to a re-education, the refrigerator re-education camp.
You will rehabilitate at Dacha in countryside. Here is where the last chance comes in. After Monday, says this CBS memo, if we hear that something that belonged to someone is missing, you will notice that the refrigerator will also be missing. Please help keep the refrigerator, because we're all 5 years old, apparently.
It'd be funny if somebody sold the refrigerator.
Threatening to take the refrigerator out of the kitchen. Please help keep the refrigerator by not taking things that don't belong to you. It would be a shame, says the memo, to deprive the many for the actions of a few.
After they already take all of our lunches and throw them away.
Seriously. So, yes, it would be a shame. It would be a shame to deprive the many, says the woman who's apparently going to be going through and throwing everything away for no reason.
So because someone's stealing, we get no refrigerator and all of our food thrown away.
So we have effectively, here's the great thing about this memo, is they've effectively given the veto power over whether I have a place to put my lunch to a thief. They really left the decision-making process in the hands of the person who is stealing. Well, that's the kind of insightful and transfixing solution that can only come from management.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
There you go. So I guess so.
So what if we chain ourselves to the refrigerator if we find out that this is happening?
Maybe we can have Cameron Diaz or whoever that was come sit in front. Have Daryl Hannah come sit. Trey Arrow can come sit on top of the refrigerator.
Oh, we should totally do that.
I mean, this doesn't even make any sense.
We should get a listener to come and sit on top of the refrigerator.
But someone tell me seriously, what? There's so many things about this memo I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand the business about how they're going to go through and throw everything away on Friday as a response to stealing.
No, Rick, this is a good way for us to get some free food. What we should do is wait until the end of and if they're going to throw it away.
Seriously, they should just give it to us.
Yeah.
We should just volunteer to take all that food off their hands.
And the thrown away lunches will be burned outside the corner.
Their refrigerator will be beaten in effigy out front. And you know what it is? It'll totally be the Orwell. Didn't we used to have a refrigerator?
No.
No, we did. There was a refrigerator here. There was never a refrigerator here.
In its place will be a big picture of Katie Couric.
With a brown shirt.
So there you go.
Okay. Yes, I will burn this village to save it. All right. Well, in any event. You know, and here's the thing, is that whoever's been stealing the food is clearly... Here's why this is a dumb solution. Because the person that has been stealing the food from the refrigerator is obviously just embittered that they themselves do not have food. So what better way to make the thief happy than to deprive us all of food? Which is apparently what's going to happen. I mean, it makes... Seriously, it makes no goddamn sense at all. A, that the problem is that food is vanishing, so we're going to throw it all away. And then, if anybody takes any more food, they're just going to get rid of the refrigerator.
The enemy's coming, so we'll blow up all the bridges.
I mean, I'm sure that there's some office somewhere in this building in which this makes sense. Like, there's some sort of weird management bubble inside of which this seems like a brilliant idea. I don't know, maybe if I get promoted high enough, it'll make sense. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We should totally chain Sky to the refrigerator. You know, like, come Monday morning or whatever it is. Like, we should totally just have him just tie himself to it and then begin some sort of a Cesar Chavez-esque chant of solidarity. All right. What are we doing here? Should we break?
Be going over the top if we had the person who wrote the memo come in and explain to us why that's a good idea? Because we are curious.
Hey, maybe. I mean, I don't...
It obviously is a managerial decision. They talked about this and they thought this was the solution. Let's ask why.
Yes.
You can.
We only have 2 years left here anyway.
All right. It's 503-733. I wonder if they get rid of the refrigerator if they'll put the forks and the napkins back, maybe. Maybe we could trade them. I would almost give up the refrigerator if they would give me something to wipe my face with again. And if I no longer had to eat with my hands.
Well, it's kind of a medieval type of thing.
Isn't this like a $14 billion company?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Should we break here? All right. We're going to break. Coming up, Snuff Watch on the way. What else? Oh, I have this week's issue of R&R Magazine. I'm going to talk about the those blind box ads that we were talking about last week. We got to talk about the vegan who challenged me to a fight as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.